good day, beloved. This is Reverend Darren, and you're watching the Teaching Room, where God speaks, we listen, we learn, we live his unchanging word through the power of the Holy Spirit. Welcome. We are on another journey through another book of the Bible, this time the book of James. Keeping It Real is the name of this series, and we want to do that. We want to be authentic, transparent in our faith so that the world can see that Jesus is alive and well, and wants them to come to know him personally. www.reveranddarren.com is where you'll find all of our study guides. I encourage you to print them off and follow along. That's what I'm working off today. And let's get started today with verse 5 of James 1. We're going to work our way down to verse 8. Verse 5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." So if you lack wisdom, you should ask God. He is a generous God. He is waiting to give you wisdom in the midst of your storms. He wants to give you wisdom, and he will not make fun of you. He will not find fault with you for asking. He is compassionate, kind, and ready to help you through the trials. He may not take the trial away, but he will help you through the trial. James here is addressing the dispersed, saved Jews. He makes it clear that while persecution and suffering are having their perfect work, as in James 1:4 from last week, in the hearts and lives of the afflicted, wisdom may be needed. Let me say that again. Wisdom may be needed in the midst of our trials and our temptations. Why? Because we need to act and respond to these trials and temptations in a godly manner, especially when we're in circumstances beyond our control, as the Jewish diaspora were. I'm sure it sounds familiar to our lives today. Wow. When it comes to it, trouble is trouble. It doesn't matter the time period in which we live. It's trouble. As it says in Job 5:6-7, "Although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." It is truly inevitable. And we need God's wisdom to respond. You see, it's not the trials of life. It's how we respond to them according to this amazing book, the Holy Bible. Incredible. I just want to mention this, that God is not aloof to our trouble. He's not a cosmic killjoy somewhere out there laughing at us in our troubles that we cause. He's not aloof to, he's not distanced from our trouble. He sent Jesus to come and live in the muck and the mire right with us, knowing that intimate communion with his children would require nothing less than soiling his sandals with sinners like you and me. Wow, incredible. Hebrews 4:14-16 says that very thing. And it ends with this incredible statement. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace," since Jesus did come to earth, "that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help," when? "In time of need." That's right. In response to his coming to earth to sojourn with us, we now have every right to fellowship with him in all his holiness in heaven. You see, Jesus isn't part of this world now. He's in glory with the Father. Therefore, we can tap into Jesus in heaven through the power of the lifeline we call the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. Amen, amen, amen. And we can ask him for wisdom in times of trouble, knowing that he is happy to provide loving help and rescue in the midst of our trials and our temptations. It says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of it to escape, that ye may be able to bear it, or bear up under it, is another way to put it. So he always makes a way for us to get through the trial and through the temptation and out of the danger. And this is not a game that God plays with us, by the way. This is his father nature taking care of his children perfectly. He allows the trial, as we talked about last week, because he is refining us into the image of his son Jesus. That's why we have daily challenges and troubles. We need not ask, why me? We already know why. Because God loves us enough to allow us to be changed from glory to glory, refined in his fire to become more like Jesus, his son. It's a beautiful, beautiful reality of Scripture. Unbelievable that God loves us that much to not leave us alone in our sin, in our troubles. James 1:6 says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. So we know that the doubt is really the fruit of deception. The deception is of the devil. We know that from Genesis 3:1-6, if you want to go back and read that. God safeguards our hearts against doubt with faith. That's Hebrews 11:1. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's Hebrews 11:6. Oh. You know what? It's not the quantity of our faith. Okay? It's not the quantity. Matthew 17:14-20. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But basically, it says, when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. And he said, Lord, have mercy on my son. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. Do you believe that? They could not heal him. What was the problem? Jesus says at the end of this passage, because you have so little faith, that's why you could not heal him. Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. It's the quality, isn't it? It's the quality of our faith. Do we really believe that God will come through in our trials and our temptations? Do we believe it? 2 Corinthians 1:17-20 teaches this very thing. And Paul says, was I fickle when I intended to do this, or do I make my plans in a worldly manner, so that in the same breath I say both yes, yes, and no, no? But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no, but the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Remember that, beloved. All of God's promises are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. God. It's the quality of our faith. It's believing with intentional faith that God will come through in our trials and our temptations. And he wants us to taste and see that he is good. He wants his children to know him for his steadfastness, his faithfulness, his trustworthiness. Amen. James 1:7 goes on to say, for let not that person think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. And this is a bit of a warning, isn't it? He's saying that person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Wow, that's almost a depressing statement, isn't it? But it's true. We can't be double-minded with God. We have to say, I believe. I believe. We don't have to manufacture it and work it up. Okay, real faith comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. We simply have to believe. And in Matthew 17:14-20, it says, when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son. Wow. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. And so on and so forth. So, what was the problem? The problem was a faith problem. Not quantity of faith, but quality of faith. So when we ask for God's wisdom amidst all of the trials and temptations we suffer in every week, we can't employ this admixture of faith and fable or truth and tyranny and expect to receive help from the Lord. It's never a mixture. Okay, it's always faith. It's always truth with nothing added. Jesus plus anything equals nothing. Let me say that again. Jesus plus anything equals nothing. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Modern rendition says, such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. I don't know about you. I do not want to be that unstable person. So that when that next storm comes, I topple like a sandcastle in the tide. I don't want to be that person. I want to build my life upon the rock of Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, and the rock of God's word. Our psalmist states time and again throughout Psalm 119 that his faith and trust is in God and God's word. And we should find encouragement in this fact and guard our hearts against the idolatry of double-mindedness, which is doubting God or directing our faith to any other thing or person to obtain the wisdom that God alone can provide and desires to bestow upon his faithful. That's you and me. We don't need to add anything. This is where the false teachers in 1 John, they were trying to add their own spin on scriptures. And today, false teachers try and add their spin on the scriptures. Don't go there. If you hear someone adding or subtracting from the word of God, which is unchanging, steadfast, and true, run from those teachers. Run from those teachers. We need solid teaching. Solid teaching based only on the word of God through the illumination of the power of the Holy Spirit and fervent prayer. Let's keep it simple. I said this last week. Let's stick to the basic things and not be sidetracked by all that is out there that seeks to deceive us and get us off track from the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not a bad idea to go through and find biblical passages that illustrate what double-mindedness looks like so we can avoid it. And then ask yourself, what character traits typify a double-minded person? Can you find examples in the Bible of that? And what are the consequences of this person, this double-minded person's life. What kind of fruit are they bearing for the kingdom of God? I'll leave that with you. We're going to stop right there for this week. We'll continue, God willing, next week. But I really want you to camp out in these verses this week, meditate upon them, and let's let God really do a work in our hearts this week through His Word. Beloved, thank you so much for joining us this week. We'll see you next time on the Teaching Room. God bless.